Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. We've been talking about experiencing God's presence. And when we talk about His presence, we're talking about increasing our awareness of His presence. Not trying to get Him to be present, but instead changing our thinking, changing our beliefs, our way of communicating with Him and experiencing Him that is based on the fact that He is always present in you and with you. He can't leave you. He can't reject you. He is in you, and you are in Him. So you don't have to get His attention. You don't have to qualify. You don't need to have not made any mistakes. He is present with you now. And when we talk about the different ways that He makes His presence known to us, we aren't talking about something that He changes. It's not like He goes, okay, I'm going to manifest my presence over here, or I'm going to be omniscient over here. But remember, we talked about there's three different ways that we talk about God's presence, and that's His omnipresence, His manifest presence, and His personal presence. These are terms we use to describe a reality. If we wanted to get into different categories, we could take each one of those and break it down probably infinitely, because it's an observation from our standpoint. It's not a restriction on God. We use our words, our description, to try to comprehend what God is revealing to us and then communicate it to others. But just like it's so hard to describe your favorite cookie or your favorite food or your favorite music, why do you like it? Odds are you're going to run into trouble relaying exactly, specifically, what's special about it. Now, that other person, you can describe your favorite cookie, your favorite ice cream to someone, and they can think, okay, I understand why she likes it. But they haven't shared your experience. And this is what we want to maintain a focus on, that we don't want to merely understand God. or insist on understanding God. There's going to be times when he gives us understanding and times when he doesn't. He is not obligated to explain himself to anyone, including us. And sometimes he gives us information just to see if we can keep from blabbing it all over. So we want to keep in focus that what we're looking for is experiencing him. Again, not trying to nitpick or criticize how one person does it over another person, or, you know, let's try to line things up. It's instead, are you experiencing God's personal presence right now? Is your awareness of him increasing in your life? Are you gaining confidence that you are hearing him on a moment-by-moment basis, and that if he wanted to get your attention just by whispering, you'd be able to identify his voice and know how to respond? It's amazing for all the advances that the church has supposedly made. That is still such a concern for Christians. How do I know God? How do I know it's him? What does he want from me? What is my purpose in life? How am I doing? Yet these are all questions that should have been answered within minutes of conversion, being converted from a dead being to a living spirit. Because all those questions are easily answerable when you understand what happened at salvation. So we've been talking about specific aspects of God's personal presence. Now, of course, these are not all-encompassing or exhaustive or restrictive. It's not, okay, if God doesn't reveal himself in one of these ways, it's not God. Instead, our desire is to expand your thought processes so that you can learn to ask questions about your own beliefs so that God can be God in your life. We certainly don't want to be in that position that he comes to us in a way that we don't expect and we turn him aside because he doesn't fit our preconceptions. And in many ways, all we're talking about is the variety of ways that he knocks on our door. It's not one way or another. He can do it however he wants. And so instead of worrying about being able to identify all the different ways he knocks, instead, we want to be alert to the training so that our ears will hear. Not to catalog what they'll hear, but that we have that confidence that we hear. So we want to go back and look at some more of the ways God's personal presence is made known to us. Again, expand your thought processes. Lord, what aspect of your personal presence are you teaching me now? And what happens is not, you may or may not see huge changes. At some point in time, you'll begin to sense just small changes, small recognitions of his getting your attention at perhaps odd times. He gets to choose when he wants to talk to you. That's not your job. Now, remember, your spirit is in total agreement with him. So if he does interrupt you at what seems to be an inopportune time, you've agreed to it. Now, does that mean you stop the surgery you're performing? No. And we'll go into more detail on how to protect his presence when he's making himself known. But this is also part of the recognition that we, being one in Christ, co-inheritors, joint heirs with him, we have that same authority over our actions and how to exercise that. I love how the scripture talks about God does not give his glory to another. And yet, guess what? You're not another. You're one in him. Of course, we still have that wall that separates our soul and our spirit, and our body just follows along. And that's what we're working on. But we start this. We come before his throne boldly because it is finished. Your conversion from dead spirit to living spirit is done. It was done 2,000 years ago. So now we are working out from spirit to soul to body that intimacy with God, that recognition, that ruling and reigning that he wants us to be experiencing here on this earth. How simple it really is to know him. We simply show up for class, do the homework, take the tests, get grades, and start the process over again. We just do what he says. We just follow along and enjoy our time together. It's like being homeschooled. Daddy's got you in his homeschool. He's going to provide everything you need. And he's not counting on somebody else to do it right. He's going to do it himself. You can get all the training you need right in your own home. Odds are, he'll send you out to outside your home to learn certain things, to come in contact with other people, other situations. But you don't need another book, another church, another conference. He may use those, but he is not obligated to. If you were on a desert island, didn't have a Bible, didn't have a church, didn't have any good recordings, any podcasts, couldn't get any good music, could you know God? And I hear some of you, yeah, I could get a lot closer to him because I wouldn't have all these distractions. But what if you never had them? Could you know God if you never had the scriptures, never sang songs to him? What if you were born on that island? What would it take? It would take God revealing himself and then teaching and training you step by step. I wonder what the differences would be if that person raised by God alone on a desert island, was suddenly put in one of our traditional churches. What a difference there would be. Where would the emphasis be? Just something fun to think about. But let's talk about aspects of God's personal presence. God's personal presence is objective. As we become more and more aware of our own true spirit nature, what we are now, spirit being, our soul is brought into the right alignment, that submissive alignment to our spirit. So your soul is subordinated to your spirit. Your spirit is one in God and with God. But your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions are subordinated to your spirit. This is your job, your task, your world. This is where you learn to rule. You rule over your soul and your body. And then you learn to reign over your circumstances. And that can be anything from your own household to your own time zone, your own concept of time, this universe. So we have a lot of options out there. The bottom line is God wants us to show up for class and respond to his training. So our soul is brought into that purposeful submission to our spirit. And over time, we become less and less aware and reliant on our emotions, on our understanding, on our mind, and on our actions. That's the mind, the will, and the emotions. We become less reliant on our soul to confirm that we are in relationship with God. So instead of, well, I feel his presence. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I know he's present. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, he's doing things in my life, so I know he's present. Well, what do you mean by that? Can you have an awareness, a confidence, that he is present in your life without any of those? Can he make himself so real that whether you have those, that your soulical senses responding or not, your confidence doesn't change? In other words, if you're not sensing him, you're not feeling him, you're not understanding him, and you don't see him working in your life, is he less present? Are you less in a relationship with him? We have not been this way before. This is a new path for you, and this is your path. This way that you are going is yours. And you and God are the only ones on it. He brings other people to travel with you, but they are on their own path. Your paths are intersecting. Your relationship with God does not depend on how someone else is doing. Your relationship with God, how this is going to work out into the next thing, whatever it is not dependent on how someone else does on their path, or on if you help them on their path. There may be a time for you to do that, but very often we try to help out of our own selfish self-interest. That we figure if we help someone else, then God will help us. And really what God is asking is for you to have your eyes fixed on Him and Him alone. So that regardless of who He has you walking with, He remains your focus. He is a jealous God. He doesn't like it when others set themselves up in His position. And He doesn't like it when we set others up in His position. So if you want to get along with God, stay out of His chair. And don't let anyone else sit in it. That includes your spouse, your parents, your children, your pastor, your anyone. Now, they may have some practical authority in your life. We're talking about your spiritual walk, your soulical development. That's between you and God. So, we have not been this way before. And though we can encourage one another along the way, and God uses us with each other, each of us develops a unique relationship with God that may or may not be able to be confirmed by a response in our soul. We may not feel any closer to God or understand what He's doing or learn more about Him. And He may not change our outward activities or our physical health, for instance, as part of our resting in His presence. Nevertheless, we know that since knowing us is His idea, He Himself is both drawing us to Him and removing the barriers, that wall, our flesh, and healing our wounds according to His schedule. There are things that I don't understand about how God does things, but I'm okay with that. There are things that I don't understand about myself. I'm okay with that. That's not my job unless He makes it my job. Then I take it seriously. And I ask Him, Lord, what am I supposed to be learning here? What is this going on? What do I need to know? Be on a need-to-know basis with God. You ask Him, what do I need to know? What a privilege we have, and what a simplicity it is. It's so much simpler than we expect, and that can be real scary, because if it's that simple, there's nothing keeping us from doing it except our own self-interest, our flesh. But God knows that too, and He entices us. He gives us a hunger and a thirst that can only be quenched by Him. He draws us to Himself. And He lets us taste and experience His goodness so that we'll want more. He doesn't drive us to himself. He lures us to himself. He entices us. He knows when you need something. When you need encouragement, when you need instruction, direction, revelation, enlightenment. And very often that need is his knocking. Because you already have the answer in your spirit. The reason it's not being revealed to your soul is because there's a wall there. There's a red flag there. And that's what he wants to address. So God's personal presence provides perspective. The more we know God, the more we see things, our life, our circumstances, our history, our past, our present, our future, from his grace-oriented perspective. Now, grace is not a equal exchange. Grace instead is God does it all and then gives it to us. And our response is thank you. And his response is you're welcome. We have a hard time with that. But when we start seeing the circumstances going on in our life, that everything is from him for our good, then we start recognizing what the threads are, that he is the path that he has been taking us on. We start seeing the marvelous ways that he has taken us from one step to another, that he has taken us from being our own God, from taking us from being our own Lord of our ring, that we have decided that we know what's best for us, to recognizing that learning to live as a spirit, because that is now our true identity, that has a soul and that lives in a body, that at that point in time, we can let go of our expectations and see the simplicity of his moving in our lives. This rest that we talk about, it's not passivity, it's efficiency. When your spirit, soul, and body are perfectly aligned, the activity that takes place in your life is the, it's like drawing a line between the two points is the fastest way. It's how can this thing be done the quickest? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no unnecessary activity or questioning. It's not that there's no activity or questioning, just it's the unnecessary has already been dealt with. And when we start to see the way he reveals himself to us, is different from anybody else, we then release them as well. And we accept his unconditional love and acceptance for us and extend that same acceptance to others. Again, that's from a spiritual perspective. We don't overlook improper behavior, but we don't equate behavior with the state of spirit. So, as we experience God's love, we learn to accept Him, ourselves, and others unconditionally. This is because we are experiencing God's love for us, for others, His acceptance and honor of others. We're starting to see things from His perspective. We also gain appreciation for His way of doing things. We may not like that. We may not like the way He does things. And we may not understand what He's doing, why we have to go through what we're going through, our own circumstances. But as we gain His perspective on how He does things, we can at least endure our present circumstances, abiding in that rest. So we'll pick it up there next week. You can always drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org, as well as visit the website. We're slowly going to be making some changes, so keep your eye out for those. Until then, that's at wecanprepare.org. Until then, till we meet again next week, or actually we will not be meeting again next week. Until we meet again, have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio. Have a great day.